If you would, turn back to Isaiah chapter 55 with me. I heard a story of a missionary. I don't remember what country he was missionary into, but he was back in the States. And he was traveling to the congregations that supported him. And he was in one fairly large one. The pastor called on him and he stood up and he preached for about 30, 40 minutes. And he preached Christ's honor and message, preached Christ crucified, preached Christ is all. And then he sat down. The pastor of that congregation told him afterwards, he said, our people are disappointed in you. He said, why? He said, because you didn't tell us about your missionary trip, everything going on in the mission field. And he said, well, he said, I have to answer to God one day. And I had the opportunity to stand up and declare Christ. And that is what matters, that I'll have to give an answer to God why I didn't if I don't. That stuck with me, and I pray that the Lord will give me a message every time that's Christ-honoring, that preaches Christ crucified, and that Christ is all in all. That's all that matters. That's all we need to preach. Going through, I told you last time about going through the class with the young ones, the younger group, and Paul, the apostles, they went preaching. All they did was preach Christ. And the Lord had people scattered everywhere. And He saved people everywhere. Some believed, some did not. But it was all of the Lord. In the end, I think of 1 Corinthians. That in 1 Corinthians someplace, Paul tells that Apollos, that he planted the congregations. He's the one that went out, started like Corinth, Philippians, and others. Apollos was the preacher at Corinth, and he watered, but the Lord gave the increase. All they did was what God had told them to do, what God had showed them, and that's all I can stand here and tell you tonight is what the Lord has done for me. I'm a sinner. I'm saved by grace, only by grace with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that He'll give me words tonight from this scripture, I need this. This is one of the reasons that I went to this, and the Lord led me to it. But I noticed in this chapter, and I don't know whether you noticed it when I was reading it, the Lord, the first thing He does, everyone that thirsteth, that's who He's calling. Are you thirsty? Has your sin got you parched and dry? Are you thirsty? But He gives several commands to His people. They will heed His word because He chose them. He called them. And He'll have them heed His word in His time. But some of the commands that He gave, He said, come ye to the waters. He tells in another place, He said, come unto me. He said, hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good. Another command. He said, incline your ear. Hear. Come unto me and hear. And He said, seek ye the Lord. That was His commands to His people. Only His people will hear it. Christ Himself said that no man can come to Him except the Father draw him. Not preaching anything of works here. These will be done because of the faith of God, the faithfulness of God. That is the reason these will be done by His people. They will not do it perfectly. They can't. We're still sinners. But then after He gives that, then He gives all kinds of promises. He tells us to come ye to the waters. And he said, he who hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, buy wine and milk without price, without money. The Lord has paid it all. Our Lord Jesus Christ paid it all. Before the foundation of the world, he chose a people. He chose to come down here as a man for 33 years, live perfectly by the law he created, do something that no other man could do because he was in his sin, laid down his life, raised it up again, and went and sat down at the right hand of the Father. But that's one of his promises. The other promise, he said, hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and so that your soul delight in its fatness. He's given us that fatness, the fatness of his word. From Genesis 1 to the last chapter of Revelations, it's all about Christ. It's Christ's story. That's all it is. If we're not reading it, if we're reading it as history, we're reading it wrong. It's all about pictures of Christ in there. All about pictures of Christ. He tells you to incline your ear, come unto me and hear, and your soul shall live. Hear the Lord. Listen. Listen for the Lord. Incline your ear. I take incline your ear, I may be wrong, but I take your, people put their hand up to their ear, they want to hear better. Cup their ear. Incline your ear and come unto me, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Another promise. And then he says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And he goes down into the next verse and he says, and he will have mercy upon him. That's what we need. We need God's mercy. We need God's mercy. Our Lord said in speaking of thirsty and telling us to come to the waters, are you thirsty? Come, the price is paid. Don't bring your works. Don't bring what you think of religion. Don't bring your beliefs. Listen to what the word of the Lord says. Christ said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He tells us to come, but he draws us. Isn't that marvelous? That he would have mercy on any, but especially me. Are you thirsty? Has your sin left you dry and parched? Are you poor in spirit? That's who the Lord called. Poor in spirit. He told us in Matthew, Sermon of the Mount, he said, the poor in spirit shall inherit the kingdom of God. That he would think on a worthy sinner to save his soul, to make him righteous. It's all the Lord's righteousness. All the Lord's righteousness. Turn with me to John chapter 4. This was the woman at the well. We'll start in verse 10. I want to read 14 verses, or through the 14th verse. It said, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Here sat the living water. The Messiah, the Christ, was in front of her. We're blinded by our sin. We can't see. We can't see the God that's right in front of us. We can't see any of these scriptures and see Christ in them except Christ reveal them to us. And then in verse 11, the woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. If I pick up this bottle and take a drink, I'm going to get thirsty later. But if we drink from the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll never thirst. Said, but in 14 says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in a well of water springing up into everlasting life. He gives us, through the Lord Jesus Christ, everlasting life. Saves our souls. That's the only thing needful. I was talking to somebody earlier that doesn't matter about our health, what kind of health we have in this life. The only thing that matters is our soul saved? That's the only thing that matters. That's the one thing needful. That's why we stand. Our pastor faithfully stands and declares Christ message after message. That's the one thing needful. But this lady, after Christ revealed himself to her, in verse 29, she went running into town. She ran back into town and she said, Come see a man which hath told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? That's what Christ does. When he sends that spirit of revelation to a person's soul, the first thing he does is show them their need of a Savior. Shows them their sin. Opens their blind eyes to the fact of the sin that they're in. They realize they have no good deeds. And then I love this in Isaiah 65. I knew it. I'd heard it. And when I was searching, I saw this. Verse 24 says, And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Reminded me of Daniel when he was praying. The Lord sent Gabriel to speak with him before he finished his prayer. While it said, while he was yet speaking, Gabriel came to him. The Lord had sent his messenger to comfort his prophet, his beloved that he had had. And back in our text, so we need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, but we can't come with anything of ours. We need to come, fall at his feet. We are his servants, and he will. All the promises that he's given us. This whole chapter was promise after promise. But he tells us, some words of warning. It says, Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Man is constantly out here searching for religions, searching for beliefs, doing things his way, thinking he's living the right life. It's all for naught. All for naught. Yes, we should try. If Christ has saved us, yes, we work our works for Christ. But it's because he saved us, not to be saved. These things will not satisfy. Christ is that thing that's good. And that's what he tells us. He said, Hearken diligently unto me and eat that which is good. That's Christ. Eat this word. Come in here. Every time this word is preached, be here. Be here. That was another reason I thought of the thirsty. Was a few weeks ago, we didn't have a Wednesday night service. You know, Sunday to Sunday is a long time without sitting here, seeing y'all, and hearing the gospel in a setting like this. And I can listen to sermon audio all day long and a dozen different preachers. It's not the same as being here amongst brothers and sisters, listening to Christ, listening about Christ and how Christ is, that he's salvation's of the Lord. That's all I can say. Colossians 2:9-10 tells us this, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." And because that of all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. The Lord Jesus Christ makes us whole. We will not see that fully until he calls us home. But I believe it with all my heart because he said it, because he does it. I know where I came from, and I know he changed my path and showed me Christ and gave me a desire to be here, and that's it. Verse 3, he tells us to incline your ear and come unto me. There again, he tells us a command to come unto him, incline, hear, and your soul shall live. Our soul shall live because the Lord Jesus Christ called us and we came. We was made willing to come. That's what in Samuel, 1 Samuel, when the Lord called Samuel, he called to him three times. And three times he got up in the middle of the night, went to Eli and said, "Yes, Master, what?" Eli realized that the Lord was calling him and dealing with him. And he told him, he said, the next time that he speaks to you, say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And that's what Samuel did. Samuel saved him. Samuel made him a great prophet. He's the one that anointed. The Lord had anointed David. Wasn't the first one that Samuel wanted to choose, but it was the one the Lord chose. That's what's miraculous, is who the Lord chooses. And he says, "And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." The sure mercies of David. 2 Samuel 23:5, David on his deathbed, he said, "God's everlasting covenant is all my salvation and all my desire." This were the sure mercies of David. The sure mercies of David. And I have five more sure mercies of David. Turn with me to Jeremiah 31. Look at a couple places there. These five are all found in Jeremiah. And they're such a comfort. That the Lord would give us scriptures like this to point his people and comfort his people. Jeremiah 31:33. He says, "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with thee, with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." Notice the Lord says, he will. He will. Doesn't ask us to do anything. Says, "I will." Says, "They will, and he will be their God, and they shall be his people." I've heard men say it, and I know it's true. I love the wills and the shalls of the Lord. He does it all. He does it out of his good pleasure. In the next verse, in 34, "And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest, saith the Lord, I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." He will remember our sin no more. He's forgiven us our iniquity to the point to where he will remember it no more. What a sure mercy that David had. What a sure mercy we have that the Lord Jesus Christ would pay our sin debt. And then in Jeremiah 32, verse 39, just a couple of pages over, it says, "And I will give them one heart." Again, he says what he will do. "And one way that they may fear me forever for the good of them and of the children after them." I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me. What a sure mercy. And in verse 40, it says, "I will make an everlasting covenant with them." Again, he tells us what he will do. "That I will not turn away from them to do them good." He will not turn away from us, but he will do us good. "But I put my fear in their hearts, and they shall not depart from me." We can't get away even if we want to. If we're the Lord's, we can't get away. I'm always praying that the Lord will keep me. But as long as I'm one of his, truly one of his, I can't get away. He won't let me. If I do, he won't let me go but so far, and he will bring me back. That's his promises. He will keep us. But those are the sure mercies of David. And in verse 4, "Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people." The everlasting covenant's made with our surety. The great shepherd of the sheep, Christ Jesus, the Lord gave him for a witness. He is that prophet that was manifest in the flesh and is risen. He is our leader. He's a great high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He's our shepherd that leads us in the paths of righteousness. What a great Savior we have. There's nothing wrong with having salvation of the Lord. I'm glad he did it all. If he'd have left it any part up to me, I guarantee I'd have messed it up. Guaranteed. I couldn't get it right if I had to, but I don't have to worry about it. He called me. He made me willing in the day that he chose me. Chose to reveal himself to me. He's our commander. He's a commander. He's the King of Kings. Verse 5, "Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee." All that Christ is, does, and will do for his people will be for the glory of God. Turn with me to John 17. Everything Christ did on earth was to glorify the Father. And everything the Father did for Christ was to glorify him. And that's what he said in his prayer here in the first four verses. Our Lord speaking, praying, he said these words, spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, and thy Son also may glorify thee. And thou hast given him power over all flesh, and he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." Our Lord Jesus Christ took our sins, bore them upon that cross before the Father, reconciled us to the Father through his blood, through his blood. In verse 3, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." We don't know anything else. Young people, if you don't know anything else, learn who the true God is and learn who Jesus Christ really is. Learn who He is. Verse 4, I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. And the Lord said He had glorified His Son. It was His Son in whom He was well pleased. All the glory was between them two. They share none of it. Our God gets all the glory, or He gets none. We need to give Him all the glory. That's why we stand to preach and teach, is to give Him the honor and the glory. It's not about ourselves, not about any one of us. Anything we've done, it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 6, what we've seen here to start with, are we thirsty? Are you thirsty? Come to the waters. Are you hungry? Come and eat bread without price. With all these things that He's told us to do, have you inclined your ear and heard? Have you beheld Christ the Messiah? Do you know what is meant by salvation is of the Lord? Then seek the Lord. Seek ye the Lord. It says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. He said, where two or three are gathered in His name, that's where He'll be. That's why we can listen to the messages over Mixler, sitting in our house by ourselves. We can listen to sermon audio driving down the road in a car by ourselves. But it's not the same as being here, because Christ said, where two or three are gathered, that's where I'll be. The two men walking down the road of Emmaus, the Lord walked with them. How greatly blessed they were that Christ was there teaching them the Scriptures, speaking from the Scriptures. That's what we need, is the Lord to speak to us. Men are always seeking something, seeking better jobs. Our young people are seeking the next thing in their life, to get out of one school, to get in another school, or start work in the world. Too much seeking is going on in the world, to seek of the world. We need to seek the Lord. Where will He be found at? He will be found where His gospel is preached, where He has set a man to declare His word. That's where He'll be. That's where, if you're seeking the Lord, be there. Search these Scriptures. Christ is on every page. Ask the Lord to show you Christ on every page. Don't look at it as a history lesson. Don't look at it as, well, that happened way back then and doesn't apply to today. No, these are all pictures of Christ. All pictures of Christ. And it says, call upon Him while He is near. He is near in this life. If we're not promised tomorrow. If we go out of this world and we don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, He hasn't revealed Himself to us. He's no longer near. We need to call on Him while we're able, while He may be found, and while He is near. And then the Lord goes on to tell us, well, I'm still in, what is it to seek the Lord? It's to discover by nature, and I took this from Henry Mahan's commentary. I'm sure he wouldn't mind at all. He had 4 points. Discover that by nature I do not have Him, and I need His grace. That's what the Lord reveals to a sinner by nature. We don't have Him, but we need Him. We need a Savior that can save us. We don't need one that has no hands but our hands. No, we don't need that. Our hand, Our God's hands are not too short. His arms are not short. He reached down, he found me. I know they're not short. Acts 15:11, Peter, he said, "We believe through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they." The apostle was speaking of the Gentiles, and he said that we will be saved, even as they. He didn't say that they'll be saved the same way he was. No. He'll be saved the same way they are. By the Lord Jesus Christ. By the grace and the power of him. Number two, what is it to seek the Lord? It is to desire his mercy and fellowship with him more than all. More than all. I fall short of this at times, but it is my desire to always be here. There's times where things come up and you're like, well, yeah, I could just not go. Fortunately, the Lord has given me a desire to be here. Sometimes it's even harder, but I'm glad that he gives me that desire. Number three is to be made willing to be saved on his terms, that he might be just and justifier. Our God allowed sin to enter this world. He chose to save some people from that sin. And the way he chose it was for him to be the justifier. Our God come down here as a man. Put on flesh and bones like we have. Tempted as we were. That he might justify his people. It was the only way to do it. And number four, be willing to part with all that oppose Christ. There was a time, sad to say, I had a head knowledge of the doctrines of grace, but I could hang out with anybody. And now, I can't hang out with just anybody. I want to be around people that love the Lord. I don't find any comfort in being out there with people that don't love the Lord. And verse 7 says, "Let the wicked forsake his way." That's what he does for us, is he makes us forsake our wicked ways. We're still wicked. We're still sinners. But we try not to let it show through so much to everybody. The unrighteous man, his thoughts. Oh, our thoughts. Just what we thought in the last 30 minutes that we've been in here, without a Savior, will put us in hell. And said, "Let him return unto the Lord." Our Lord said in another place, "I will draw them. I will cause them to return unto me." And because he does it, he will have mercy upon him. I'm glad he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, that he will abundantly pardon. He will abundantly pardon. Turn with me to Micah chapter 7. Micah 7, starting in verse 16. We'll read through the end of the chapter on it. This touched me when I read it. "The nations shall see and be confounded at all their might. They shall lay their hand upon their mouth, and their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall move out of their holes like worms of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Lord our God and shall fear because of thee. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage? Isn't that something to think about, that our God pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? We didn't stop being sinners because he saved us, but he doesn't see them. He puts them away. He put them away, the past and the future ones. He makes us like him. He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in his mercy. Our Lord delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. I heard the other day something I come across. They was talking about how deep the ocean was. There's a point in the ocean that's 7 miles deep. Think about being 7 miles deep. He cast our sins into the ocean. Man has no vessels that'll even go close to getting them back. Thank goodness the Lord will not. He's hid them from himself. It says, thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. We have the same promises Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob have. There's a Savior. There's a Savior. He will save us. He will save his people. We have nothing to fear. The only thing we should fear is a God that can destroy our souls. That should be a fear. That's why fearing God, the fear of the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom. And back in our text, in verse 8, he said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. I had a man tell me, I tried to point him to scriptures. I tried to show him the Lord Jesus Christ in scriptures. Just what God said. And the only thing he could say to me the whole time we were talking was, I believe. I believe this. I believe that. He didn't back it up with any scriptures. But by that same token, if the Lord hadn't saved me, I'd be just like him. I'd be just like him. It takes a merciful Lord to show me that my thoughts are not as his thoughts. My ways are not his ways. Not at all. His thoughts are higher than mine. That's what he says in the next verse. It says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Our God is out to do us good. That's what our pastor keeps saying. That's what David Edmondson says. He is out to do us good. His people, he's out to do good. And his thoughts are so much better than ours. We can't. Man tries to be and make his God to be like him. I don't want a God like that. I did it one time probably. But I am glad the Lord opened my eyes, showed me I don't want a God that's like me. There's no salvation in a God that's like me. It says in verse 10, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and make it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Our Lord, he sends the rain on the just and the unjust. Not just his people. He sends it to everybody. Everybody benefits from the rain. He withholds the rain, everybody suffers. But he gives us the water to bring forth the seed that we may have bread to eat. This bread we need is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is spiritual bread we need. It says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. Studying the book of Acts, I have seen the Lord's word in that, learning the early churches. These men went out, they preached. Some places they beat them. Some places they threw them in prison, shackled them up, left them for dead. They got up and they preached again. The Lord honored these men with sheep there to be saved. There was sheep that needed to be saved, and the Lord had sent these men to them to preach. Most every place they went, there was at least one or two believers. Just like where our Lord went, he went through and found his sheep. While he was on the earth, everywhere he traveled was for a purpose. He had sheep there he had to go find. I'm glad that we have a great shepherd that will not turn us away or forget about us just because we're lost. That he comes and finds us. He knows where we're at. He comes, he finds us, puts us on his shoulder, and carries us back. That's what he does. Does it all. And he says in verse 12, "For ye shall go out with joy and be let forth with peace. The mountains and the hills and shall break forth before you in singing. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." I read this. It reminded me, I was out trying to do some work in the yard Saturday, and it was windy, and those trees were clapping their hands. I mean, our Lord has made the mountains sing and the trees of the field clap, all for his joy, his honor, his glory. "Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. And instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree." The thorn and the briar aren't much to look at. But boy, a fir tree trimmed up nice, a myrtle tree in all its bloom, sure is beauty, beautiful. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. What beauty is in him? What beauty is in our Lord Jesus Christ? "And it shall be to the Lord for a name, and for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." The Lord done it. He purposed it, and that he will do. That's what he told us. He said, "That I will do." So are you thirsty? Do you need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Come without money. Come without price. Don't bring anything. That's where that song, "Just As I Am," is so beautiful. Just as I am, a sinner in need of a Savior, come to the Lord. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Incline your ear. Hear. Be where the Lord is at. Search for him while he's near. Tomorrow may be too late. Search today. Search while he may be found. And call upon him while he is near. Thank y'all.